You're listening to the Simon Gowan Triathlon Show with your host, Simon Gowan, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Simon Gowan Triathlon Show. On today's show, we're going to be focusing on two key elements of triathlon training that are often put to the back burner but are vital to our success. The first area is going to be developing your mind, and to help us do that, we have Dr. Jim Taylor, who is the author of The Triathlete's Guide to Mental Training, come on to answer questions around how to prepare mentally for your racing. And then after that, we're going to be turning our attention and with my in-studio guest, Dr. John Heiss, to Herbalife's new 24 range that is a targeted nutrition platform for multi-sports athletes that covers the spectrum of our needs in competition and in training. Today's show is brought to you by the Malalani Bay Hotel, and they have a special athlete program, their Iron Fit program, where you can go and stay at the beautiful Malalani Bay Hotel and Bungalows in Hawaii, home to many a great athlete during race season, and that's all for $199 a night. It also includes access to the Trek Speed Concept bikes, use of a 25-meter pool, and enjoy their wonderful eco-friendly hotel. You can check that out at malalani.com. And also by Leslie Cohen Law, offering positive solutions for personal and business bankruptcy. www.lesliecohenlaw.com. Okay, my first guest, I'd like to welcome, calling in from San Francisco, is Dr. Jim Taylor. Welcome to the Simon Gowan Triathlon Show.
Good morning, Simon. Glad to be here.
Thank you, and it's a pleasure to have you on. One of the key areas that I think that a lot of athletes neglect is this area of mental training. And so I think, first of all, I would, could you tell our listeners a little bit about why, you know, what prompted you to write your book, and, you know, how important an area you see this is for athletes to develop?
Sure. Well, I've been a sports psychologist for about 25 years. I first started out actually as a world-ranked alpine ski racer, and in adulthood migrated into endurance sports, first marathoning and then to triathlons. And as I became more immersed in triathlon, and having done a couple of Ironmans and a bunch of other shorter races, I came to see that the fitness certainly is essential. There's no replacement for being fit for a race, but certainly at the end of races, what enables you to keep going is not your body, because your body's screaming for you to stop, but your mind, the ability of your mind to either work with or overcome the messages your body's sending you to keep pushing, keep driving toward your personal goals and toward the finish line.
Okay, and so with that in mind, what specific recommendations do you have for athletes listening?
Well, that's a pretty general question, but let me just begin by describing what I consider to be the five key areas for mental preparation. One is motivation. It's the bottom of my prime triathlon pyramid, because if you're not motivated, you're not going to get out of bed, nothing else is going to happen. Second is confidence. You have to believe you can go the distance or maintain the pace or handle the conditions. Third is intensity. As the race goes on, your body starts to tighten up. The ability to stay relaxed on the bike, on the run is essential. Focus. What do you focus on? It's easy, again, late in races when it's difficult conditions, to start focusing on negative things or worried about thinking about your time instead of what do I need to do right now. And finally, emotions. This is a huge area for triathlon, especially for longer distances, where for anybody who's done longer distances knows that it becomes a very powerful emotional experience. Everything that you are as a triathlete, as a person, gets peeled away late in races, and you get raw. And the ability to handle emotions like frustration, anger, despair are fundamental to getting where you want to go to the finish line and achieving your goals.
Okay, and in your book, you talk about the prime triathlon, and in it, you talk about triathlon being about love. Can you extrapolate on that?
Yes, this has been actually a big thing for me, and if you happen to have read the book Born to Run about the Mexican
Sure.
runners who run the Leadville 100 and so on, there's a lot of this idea of why we're doing it. There are certainly some triathletes who do it for the money, the fame, and the glory, but bottom line, most triathletes should do it because they love being out there. They love the satisfaction, the fulfillment, the social connections, being fit, achieving goals, all these things. And the bottom line is, none of us are forced to do triathlons. So it's about, if we can know that we're doing it for love of the sport, for the love of the life, the relationships we build, that can sustain you through a lot of the physical challenges that you're inevitably going to experience during the course of training and racing.
Yeah. Now, you talked about in your prime pyramid those five key areas. Let's, if we can translate that into, say, a working example. So, and one you alluded to, which was, you know, that fatigue at the end of an Ironman in the run, or in, you know, any distance race. So, can you give us one example of how an athlete would deal with this sort of, you know, negative self-talk and also physical challenges, and how would they overcome that? What would be some one or two things that they may do to do that?
Okay, a couple things. First of all, when things get tough, it's important to remember why you're doing it. And you have this big goal you have maybe for a time, or to get just crossing the line sometimes is a big goal. So remembering in the discomfort, in the fatigue, in the pain, why you're doing it. Second, positive self-talk is huge. When things get hard, it's easy to go to the dark side and think, oh, I can't do it, I'm not going to be able to finish it, I can't keep going. And as long as it's exertion pain, which I distinguish from injury pain, then it's a matter of staying positive. I can do this, I can keep going. Because any time you think there's nothing left, then when I say there's nothing left, I'm talking about a Julie Moss moment, for those of you who are familiar with her story from 82 Ironman World Championship.
Sure.
And even she fell down, but she found a way, even though her body was saying no, for her mind to control it and keep going and drag herself across the finish line. So staying positive. And I don't mean self-talk like, I'm having a good time here, this is great, I love this. Because at the end of a race, it hurts, it's hard. But simply saying, this is why I do it, I'm working toward my goal, keep at it, keep going. In a way, the mind, the self-talk, has to overcome the messages that the body's sending the mind. Another big thing at that point is to stay relaxed. Late in a race, the body feels threatened. And the body's natural reaction to threat is to tighten up. And unfortunately, that's counterproductive. It increases the pain. It makes it more difficult to keep going. So working on controlling your breathing, because especially late in a race, your body's starting to rebel. The one thing you can control is your breathing. So taking controlled deep breaths, swinging your arms around, changing your stride on the bike, changing your body position on the bike, those make a big difference. And then being really aware of your emotions, recognizing that your emotions are going to go sometimes in a bad way. A classic example is in an Ironman, and I experienced this, and every triathlete I've spoken to experiences this, that somewhere between 60 and 90 miles of the bike, you have an emotional crisis. Because you've been out there a really long time, and you're getting tired, but you still have to be out there a really long time. And so the ability to just recognize that, and by the way, an emotional crisis is often associated with a nutritional crisis. So if you start to have some bad emotions, eat something, and recognize as well that those emotions will pass as you keep moving and keep staying positive.
Okay, now around about this time in the year in this particular region, we have the Malibu Triathlon coming up, and there are a lot of people who use that as their first race, and it inevitably brings up the fear of the ocean. Can you talk to us a little bit about, you know, your views on fear of the ocean? Is there, you know, and I'm asking this question because I'm out of curiosity. Is there, you know, how do you talk to someone who is terrified of the ocean? A lot of people say, well, there hasn't been a shark attack in 32 years. But in my experience, that does not work for someone who has a primal fear.
Right.
So how would you deal with someone who just has this massive sort of primal fear of the ocean?
Okay, first of all, I've actually worked with triathletes who have had that experience. And you do want to provide the data. It's not going to absolve them of their fear, but letting them know, for example, you know, I swim in San Francisco Bay, and there's never been a shark attack in San Francisco Bay. It just never has happened. So providing some objective perspective can help. It's a start. But also I want to look at what's the fear. Very often for triathlete newbies, it's just lack of experience and lack of exposure. There's something very daunting about going into the ocean when it's cold, when it's dark, and so the basis is, first of all, is gaining knowledge about it, and then gaining experience. Starting close to shore, getting comfortable with the water, and then slowly working yourself out. Because so much with new triathletes is not only very often are they not great swimmers, but the idea of swimming in the ocean is such a daunting task. And so it should be a very progressive, incremental process of working themselves into it and becoming comfortable with it. That's one thing. Second thing is I'm a big believer in mental imagery. it's a whole other workshop, a whole another discussion, Simon. But simply having the triathletes, these newbies who are afraid of the water, imagining themselves swimming. And up here in Aquatic Park, we've got about a third of a mile loop around some buoys, no boats, enclosed, never big waves. And having the triathletes imagine themselves swimming these laps in Aquatic Park in the bay up here. And what that imagery is an incredibly powerful tool that's not just psychological. It affects them psychologically, physically, and emotionally. And by seeing themselves being comfortable while they're swimming, getting a little nervous, but just breathing and staying positive in their mind, continuing to see themselves swimming, they start to become familiar with it. They start to feel confident and competent. And as that grows psychologically, then they translate that into actual swimming in open water, in the ocean, and they start to gain that direct experience. So what happens is there's this progressive process of gaining confidence, experience, and comfort.
Okay, so someone is people who suffer from pre-race nerves. What do you recommend for people who the night before a race and they're super nervous?
Okay, first of all, recognize it's totally natural. Triathletes are so worried about getting a good night's sleep the night before that they actually keep from getting a good night's sleep because they're worried about getting a good night's sleep.
Right.
And the night before doesn't matter. Usually the previous nights help in terms of having a good night's sleep. So first of all, not worrying about that. Second of all, being prepared. The single greatest antidote to pre-competitive anxiety is preparation, which means having your lists, having your gear laid out, being really organized. Second is just, especially for new triathletes, the anxiety comes partially from just lack of experience, lack of exposure. So just recognizing, I'm going to be a little nervous. That's part of the deal. The more I race, the more comfortable I'll become. Another thing is do things that are relaxing. Listen to music. Hang out with relaxed people. The worst thing in the world is to hang out with somebody who's really wired and really intense the night before and the morning of a race.
Oh, you mean like all triathletes?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, but I have found people that are a little more relaxed, a little low-key about it. Stay positive. Anxiety, part of anxiety comes from just not feeling totally confident. So staying positive. I did my work. I'm prepared. I know what I need to do. The training's gotten me here. I'm ready to go. And finally, one thing that makes people nervous is that they're focusing on the outcome, on whether it's just finishing or a time or beating somebody. Outcome focus for me is a kiss of death. It's all about focusing on the process and why you're doing it. Hey, we're all out having fun. I've done my work. I know what I need to do at each stage of the race. And so if I do that, I'm going to be okay. Finally, the morning of, again, listening to music's very good. Doing a lot of breathing, a lot of relaxation exercises, and just keeping moving. The worst thing to do is just stand there because then you start to just tighten up.
Yeah. And okay. So for my last question for you, what would you recommend for someone who's interested now in developing their mental toughness? What would be something they could do today in their training or outside of their training, something they do, either journaling or whatever it might be? What would you recommend being a first step towards them becoming more mentally tough?
Well, I guess there are two things. One is a bit of a shameless plug is my book actually covers all these different areas, and they can order that online. And by the way, I'm not just the author. I'm the first author with Terry Schneider of the book, who's a very well-known endurance athlete. But as far as what they can do actually today, positive self-talk. Mental, all these things we're talking about, these are skills just like technical and physical skills. And the only way to get good at them is to practice them. And so becoming aware when you go out onto the track today or go out for that ride or that swim, be aware of your self-talk and notice if it's negative. And the chances are there will be some negativity. And begin to train positive talk. I can do this. I can keep going. I can work hard. I'm working toward my goals. And what happens is you start retraining your brain away from the negative stuff onto the positive stuff. And a final point, if people want to learn about this stuff even more in depth, you can go to my website, drjimtaylor.com. It has tons of free articles about triathlon that I've written for various triathlon magazines and on my blog.
Wonderful. Well, and actually, in parting on that, I just want to comment a little bit further, is that I know that you also have done work in terms of, you know, developing kids and children. And I guess just as an additionally, you know, how can a lot of triathletes, you know, are parents and have children. And how can they, what is the best way for them to coach their kids?
Well, the best way to coach your kids is not coach your kids. The best way to get your kids interested and involved in, for example, triathlon is simply do it with them. Make it fun. I mean, my kids are 6 and 4, and we go for runs. After I go for a long run, we'll come out and just run around the block around our house and let them drive it. Because if they see you loving what you do and feeling good and being happy and seeing it as a part of your life, then your kids are gonna internalize that and get interested too. The worst thing in the world is force your kids to do stuff. And the reality is triathlon, people forget this, but triathlon is composed of three things that kids love to do. Think about when you were a kid. What did you do? You swam, you ran, you rode your bike. And so if you can keep it all about fun and get your kids a part of it and take them to races. My kids love when they were younger going to races, my races. And they see it and they go, this is cool. So they'll start wanting to do it. Then you've got them.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And actually, I think that mantra kind of holds up a little bit when you get older too, you know, keep it fun. Well, Jim, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate your insights.
My pleasure. Great fun speaking with you.
Okay, that was Dr. Jim Taylor, and he was the author of The Triathlete Guide to Mental Training, amongst other books as well, so you can check him out and his book.